For most of my life, I thought escape meant giving up, running away, and avoiding life. But what if I told you that escape isn't just about running away? It's a response to something bigger, something you might not even see coming, something that makes you feel safe for just a little while. Escape has always had a stigma, hasn't it? We call it a weakness or avoidance. But what if we could see escape not as a retreat, but as a survival tactic? A tool for resilience, not failure. Today, we're unraveling the word escape and how it might actually be the thing we've been overlooking in our healing journey. What does it mean to escape? And when does it become a part of who we are instead of a choice we make? That's what we'll dive into today. This is Zero Meaning, where we unravel words, redefine perspectives, and empower healthy change. I'm your host, Zero, and today we're diving into a word that can feel so loaded, but so necessary in our lives. Escape, the word itself, comes from the Latin excapere, which means to take out or to slip out. And that's the thing. Escape doesn't always mean running away. Sometimes it's just slipping away to catch your breath, to regroup, to gain clarity, and come back stronger. I spent a lot of my life not understanding escape. I thought it was just about running away from problems, but I've come to realize that escape is a part of survival. That the problem comes when it's used as a means to avoid deeper issues. That's where it can become destructive. In this episode, I'll share how escape shaped my life, how I've learned to see it for what it is, a tool for survival, but also a path that leads to growth when we don't use it to avoid the work that needs to be done. I didn't become aware of my escape tactics until much later in life. Much later than I should have. The first time I realized I was using escape wasn't an intentional act. It was a revelation in therapy. I'd been talking about my upbringing and the people who no longer wanted me in their lives, and I noticed something interesting. When I spoke of them, I would dissociate. Dissociating, for me, was like slipping into another world. One where I wasn't hurt, where I wasn't in pain. The first time I could remember dissociating was after a particularly brutal beating I couldn't physically escape from. I didn't realize that I could check out mentally as a form of survival. And that's what escape has often looked like for me, numbing myself to the world around me when it became unbearable. This pattern didn't just emerge in my childhood. It followed me into adulthood. Every time I faced rejection, abandonment, or betrayal, I would escape. It wasn't always physical. Sometimes it was mental or emotional. And I would keep running from things I didn't know how to face until eventually those things caught up with me. When I think about escape, I don't just think of running away. I think of withdrawal. Not just physically, but emotionally. I used to escape into my thoughts, into my books, into the world of fantasy where the stakes weren't real, where the pain wasn't real. Books, music, and creative outlets like poetry were my favorite forms of escape. I remember escaping into withdrawal when my significant other and I had disagreements. Growing up, disagreements was always the precursor to abandonment. So I would retreat to protect myself. If I wasn't the one to leave first, I feared being left behind, rejected. That's how I learned to use withdrawal as an escape. It kept me safe in a way. It was my defense mechanism. But here's the thing. I never really defined escape for myself until I started paying attention to how often I used it. Escape isn't always about running away. It can also be a mental shift. When I'd escape, it wasn't always a physical act, but a place I went to mentally to avoid feeling something too painful. Escape is an instinct we all have. But why do we need it? Our brains are wired to protect us from harm. And when we feel threatened, whether emotionally, mentally, or physically, our brains automatically flip that switch into flight or flight mode. But sometimes there's no way to fight and no way to physically flee. So our minds find another way to cope, escape. In my experience, escape became something I relied on during moments of extreme stress. I remember being on my first deployment. I was homesick, and the thought of being separated from my young family for 6 months was unbearable. But here's the thing. I didn't just feel sad. I was overwhelmed. The fear of not being there for my family, the emotional pressure, it all became too much. My escape was mental. It wasn't about leaving the place. It was about leaving my mind behind. I threw myself into my work, into the tasks that needed to be done. But at what cost? I disconnected from my loved ones. I dissociated. I didn't allow myself to feel anything about them because feeling would have been too painful. Looking back, I see that my escape was born from my own survival instinct. But it wasn't the only way forward. Dissociating worked in the short term, but it didn't help me build connections or deal with what I was running from. Escape can be a coping mechanism, but it also has its costs. The more we use it, the more we disconnect from others, even from ourselves. Disconnecting doesn't always mean we're leaving things behind. Sometimes it means we're not showing up for ourselves or for the people we care about. Escape is a survival tool, yes, but when it's overused, it becomes destructive. I've learned this the hard way. Addiction was one of my primary ways of escaping life for several years. I didn't want to deal with the feelings, the reality of my situation. I didn't want to face what was really going on in my life. I turned to opioids and painkillers to dull the pain. And for a while, it worked. It gave me a temporary break, an escape from my emotions. But soon, it became a prison. I couldn't escape the consequences of my actions. And the more I used, the more disconnected I became. Escape, when overused, doesn't heal anything. It just delays the inevitable. It made me feel numb, but it didn't make the world softer. It didn't fix my relationships or my mental health. It just stopped me from feeling. And that, in the long run, was the real damage. What I learned is this: constant escape isn't freedom. It's anxiety in disguise, a constant running from what needs to be confronted. And for the first time, I realized that the true cost of escape wasn't just the damage to my relationships. It was the loss of myself. I used drugs to escape. But what I didn't know then was that the real battle wasn't with the pain. It was with my mind, with the stories I told myself. It was the belief that I wasn't worth healing. Escape doesn't have to be a destructive force. Sometimes it could be temporary relief, a healthy way to recharge. I find myself seeking refuge in things like reading and music when life feels overwhelming. Books and Bob Marley's music have a way of helping me reconnect with myself, even if it's just for a little while. When I step into a book or listen to a song, I escape into a space where the world's problems aren't mine to solve. For a moment, I could just breathe. These forms of escape are not about avoiding the world. They're about resetting so that I can face it again with clarity. I've learned that escape can be healthy, as long as I'm not using it to avoid the real work that needs to be done. When life becomes overwhelming, I give myself permission to step back. I don't disappear forever. I know that when I return, I need to be ready to confront whatever it is I'm escaping from. Escape was a response to trauma in my life, and it started early on. Growing up, I faced emotional, physical, and psychological abuse. Over time, my ability to dissociate became one of my primary coping mechanisms. It allowed me to mentally escape the harsh reality around me. But over time, I realized I had created a pattern. Every time I felt emotionally unsafe, I would withdraw. It wasn't until I started working with mindfulness and learning to identify the trigger points that I began to recognize how much escape had become ingrained in my life. One of the things that helped me was a quote that I've held on to for years: challenge everything. This simple phrase gave me the courage to challenge the behaviors and thought patterns that no longer served me. I started asking myself why I had the urge to escape, and what was I running from? Escape can feel like freedom in the moment, but sometimes it's an illusion. I remember using painkillers and opiates to escape reality for years. Whenever I wanted to avoid the consequences of my actions, I would send myself into oblivion, escaping once again. But what did that really solve? Nothing. I wasn't fixing anything. I was just delaying the inevitable. And the more I escaped, the less I wanted to engage with reality. I gave up. I didn't want to try anymore. I was stuck in a loop, and that escape ultimately left me further disconnected from myself and from the people I loved. Escape, when used continuously, can stop you from learning, growing, and facing the issues that need addressing. I've learned that escape doesn't always mean leaving physically. Sometimes it's an emotional escape. The way I distinguish the two is by asking myself, do I have a sanctuary to go to? Somewhere where I don't have to be anything other than myself? If I do, I take that time. If not, I know that I need emotional escape. Emotional escape is about processing what's going on inside. For me, it's a mental reset where I step back and then return with a better perspective. Sometimes I withdraw emotionally because I need time to think and recharge. But when I physically escape, I make sure it's temporary, that I'm giving myself space to come back stronger and clearer. Escape can also be a form of freedom, especially when it means breaking away from toxic environments. I've experienced this firsthand. After being incarcerated, I understood the deep, suffocating toxicity of the environment I was in. It was being surrounded by people who don't care about you, who only want to try and break you. When I left that environment, I felt a freedom that I hadn't realized I was missing. But I also knew that true freedom wasn't just physical, it was emotional. Before we wrap up, I want to share a bit about something close to my heart. If you found this episode meaningful, I encourage you to check out Skonin Scribe. This is a project I created to help people heal and reclaim their worth, even when it feels like they've lost everything. You can shop for healing journals or other merchandise like the Held Without Earning It shirt, a reminder that you're worthy of grace, even when you feel unworthy. And if you're in Kansas City, join us for Our Candy Rose, a memorial event honoring healing, survival, and reclaiming freedom from addiction and mental health struggles. I'll leave the links in the show notes. Escape is not always the enemy. Sometimes it's exactly what we need to survive, but it's about knowing when escape is temporary relief and when it's avoiding growth we need. It's about learning the difference between healing escape and avoidance escape. Remember, Escape is not about running away. It's about creating space to return to the fight, to return to life, to return to connection stronger than before. This is zero meaning. We don't just unravel words. We reclaim what they took from us. So choose your words wisely, question what you've been told, and never stop seeking the truth beneath the surface. Until next time, stay mindful, stay curious, and keep redefining meaning.